Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moon, Moo, and You, the Collective Wisdom. Our guest tonight is Amy Flynn, also called All About Energy. Amy is a born energy channel, an intuitive and healer, and a voice channel for an expression of non-physical source energy known as the collective. She is also a psychic and a medium. Amy is recognized as a transformational expert and energy healer, and one who has facilitated lasting connection with source or spirit within. Her URLs, her web pages are http://allabout-energy.com, and we will put that up in the chat room. Also, http://moneyreikihealing.com, and you can receive a free Money Reiki healing at that site. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Busy Tuesday as usual.
Yes, yes, yes. Hello, Amy.
Hi, Kate. Hi, Joan.
How are you? Fine. Thank you.
Good to hear your voice. Nice. And Yuli says hello, too.
Oh, hi, Yuli. How are you? Woof, woof.
Mr. Man. Yeah, he was barking up quite a storm a little earlier, wasn't he, Joan?
He was. I couldn't
believe
that.
Oh, my goodness.
I've heard him bark before, but he was upset.
He was upset or excited?
No, he was upset. I don't know. Somebody was in the yard. Something wasn't going to suit him. I know that.
Oh.
Well, see, we have another radio show, and somebody actually came over to the house, and I should put a sign on the door that says "Show in Progress." But I didn't, and so I had to get off the phone and the line and tell him that Yuli was a star of this show, and Yuli, which he is, he's star of the show. So how are you this evening?
I'm good. How about you guys?
Good. Well, it took us a little while to come upon a topic, didn't it? But I would say that our topic is the crystalline grid and love.
Right, right. Yeah, well, I thought we had a topic because you had told me several weeks back that we were going to talk about the crystalline grid. So I'm like, oh, okay.
God. So much has gone on since then that I completely, I'm warped into another dimension, I think.
No worries. We'll get it together, right? Yuli can always bark a bit for us.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Well, he's happy because he just ate, so I don't think he'll be barking. That's good.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I was on that crystalline grid call, and I was just amazed by that. It's hard to explain, but I think it's an overall energy that surrounds the Earth, but it must surround surround the whole universe. And I just think it must be, the thing that struck me was that it just recently became alive or something. It had been laying dormant.
Yeah, it was dormant
yes.
for a while. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around for eons, and it was, like you said, kind of quiet. It went quiet, deactivated, and it's just recently been activated as we're moving into higher frequencies of energy and dimensions around the planet and on the planet and through us and everything. And yes, it does run through everything. It's its nature is holographic like everything else. I mean, it's part of the universe and the cosmos are holographic. So in each, one of our cells, there's a little crystalline grid. And, through our bodies, there's a crystalline grid. You know, through the earth, there's a crystalline grid. And then around the earth, there's a crystalline grid. And then, throughout the cosmos, there's a crystalline grid. It's really a light grid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you could say light and love grid. People call it all sorts of things. But the grid that has been in place through so many years kind of has acted more like a veil or a shield, I guess you could say, protecting the earth and also, keeping certain energies around the earth and away from the earth, and that's been the electromagnetic grid.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is, it's still here, but that one's kind of decreasing in strength and power and dissolving, whereas the crystalline grid is reactivated. And as more people connect to the crystalline grid, the more power it has. Because we essentially are light and love also, and as everybody connects, they're sending the energy through that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And that's what you experienced on the call, on the crystalline grid call, was connecting
mm-hmm.
to this grid.
Oh, yeah. And it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah. And you experienced it basically as a feeling of pure love. If I remember, you were, like, ecstatic about it. You were like, love, 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 everything is love. And remember?
Yes,
I do. Yeah, which is really, love is the essence of the cosmos. Love is what we are. Love energy, not love as a verb or a noun, but love as an energy. Love is a force. You know, we think that it's life force that runs through us because it gives us life, so we call it life force. But in truth, it's really love force.
Mm-hmm.
It's the force of love. And love is much more what we think of as life. It's hard to put it into words because we've developed the language and words based upon our understanding. And our understanding is like one like drop in this vast bucket, So it's kind of hard to use the words that we commonly use to describe and gain an understanding of what's happening.
Right. Because the experience of love is
uh-huh.
difficult to put into words because you are there and words diminish it, I think.
Right. You can't really put it into words. Even though we have this word love that we invented, it's like, apples and oranges. The word love that we use so often on the earth has got nothing to do with the universal love, with the cosmic love, with this force that exists.
Right.
It's like two completely different things. It just so happens that they happen to have the same word, name or term describing them, but it's completely different.
Yes, because a lot of that love is jealous, envy, love, or, it's
or
just
possessive
a word.
Love.
Possessive
or,
love, yeah.
Right, pulling, you're trying to pull or push, with that love. It's used as a means to control, like you said, and it's not, I'll love you if you do this type of thing. It's called conditional love based on conditions. And we also look at it as a feeling. Something that we feel as opposed to what we are. So that's something completely different. I mean, we look at ourselves and say, I'm a body and I love people, And,
yeah.
As opposed to saying, I am a love force and I am the force of love,
mm-hmm.
It's just beyond the comprehension of someone that hasn't experienced it because they keep going back to the understood definition of love. you know, that we learn.
Yes. Well, it's an interesting experience when people fall in love, quote unquote, where they just completely lose themselves in each other, as opposed to feeling that being a power of love in and of themselves. But of course, we're all connected. But you know how people fall in love and they suddenly
right.
just become
that,
completely
that feeling,
gone.
Yeah, that feeling of falling in love and that feeling of losing oneself is probably the closest that people get to the actual feeling of the love force and being
yes.
one with everything. It's just, they feel one with another person or another being, but they don't, you know, people can feel the same type of love for their animals and whatever. It doesn't have to be a human. But that is still, is only towards one or with one, as opposed to this connectedness of all and feeling it towards everything that is and all, you know, all energy and all being and all life. And where if you take that feeling of being in love like that and losing yourself and then magnifying it so that you feel that towards everything that exists and everyone that exists, that
yes.
much more like, you know, this love.
Right. We had a retreat here over a weekend or two ago, and Leonard Lasko teaches people, or, you know, he draws you into the experience of love.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he teaches, or what he helps us all experience in his exercises. And he does it through the exercises of Ramana Maharshi, the great Indian saint, and he does it through the Who Am I process. The Who Am I process is, Ramana Maharshi was a pure being of love. Are you familiar with him?
No, I'm not. I mean, unless you're pronouncing the name differently than I'm used to, like seeing it or something. Or
yeah. Okay. Yeah. But he imparted everything he taught silently. He wasn't a
mm-hmm.
talker. People were in his presence and they suddenly experienced what it was that he. His whole being was love, and people got it as soon as they were in his presence or as soon as he touched them or whatever. And he also was quite an animal lover,
uh-huh.
and animals were drawn to him, like a sort of a St. Francis effect. But the Who Am I process is interesting because we start out asking each other with a partner, who am I? And you do eye gazing. And you do this, Len had a bunch of questions that we asked over a period of 3 days through this eye-gazing technique that starts out, you know, you start out with might think of themselves in a role or as a parent or as a, you know, or as a teacher or as a nurse or whatever, and then all of a sudden it just goes out. And then plus there were a lot of meditation periods, long meditation periods. And I think that really to keep the energy of love alive, I'm convinced that you need regular meditation periods, you know, maybe three times a day.
That makes sense. That's because that silences the mind and you get outside of the thinking mind and you connect to a larger energy. The quiet part of you, you connect to the larger part of you within, which is, you know, everything that is, all that is. It lives within you. Everyone thinks, oh, it's this big thing that's, you know, vast. It lives outside of me, you know, and that's not really true. It is you. It's just that you live your life, your daily life, your life here on earth, not living from that place and not aware of that in your moments. But when you meditate, you do connect with that again and you become aware of that. And then you can connect to or be that love because that's what that space is. So it makes total sense.
It does. And so we've created a space in our barn. Well, this barn, we're in the process of renovating the whole barn, but we renovated a room, and people come every morning and we meditate together. And that has been very powerful. I mean, because we might all tend not to meditate. if we didn't have that kind of community meditation thing that we're doing. So
that's wonderful. That's really
wonderful. It is.
How many people come every day?
Well, soon it will be 4, and
excellent.
Right now it's 3, and then I think it'll just grow because it really is something that people tend to I know that I tended not to meditate because I didn't have somebody coming into my driveway and walking into the barn. And this is really funny. And this is really funny because we'll be sitting there meditating and somebody will come to meditate and Yuli comes tromping into the meditation room as a way, it's almost like he's showing them in, like, here they are, as if he's like showing them in, and then he plops down and meditates too. It's so cute.
Oh, that is funny. That is adorable. Great.
Well, you should have seen him during the retreat. He was so into the loving energy, and he became very vibrant. Of course, that was just because we were seeing it with different eyes. You know, everything was very vibrant. The earth was really shimmering, and the river was also alive. Everything was so alive, and it's almost like the elementals came out, and or not really, because they were there all along. It's just that we were able to see them. You know.
Yeah.
So that's it was very comforting and very relaxing. And
so what did you come away from that retreat learning about love or knowing about love? Because it's more of a knowing, an inner knowing.
I just know that, well, going back into the hospital is a good example because I was pretty terrified to go back there because there are so many unharmonious vibrations and there's a lot of suffering, but there's also a lot of unhappiness amongst the staff and that kind of thing.
Right.
And I was kind of terrified to go in there. I didn't know if I could maintain what I had gotten from those 3 days, but I was able to. It was really amazing, and I had to work 3 12-hour nights.
Wow.
Besides, it wasn't just like 2 or maybe 1 or even 3, but it was 4. And I just noticed that underneath all the disharmony, which still existed, there was a feeling that everything was just love. And I didn't intellectualize it. It was just a knowing.
Right,
an experience.
It's like you got changed, you got shifted at a cellular level, so that stayed with you.
Yes, and it's still with
wonderful.
Me. It will be with me because it was something that I think it was a shift on the cellular level is why it will stay with me.
Right. Now, the magic can be if you can go into your workspace at the hospital and bring this energy of love and radiate it so that others can pick it up and just sense it by being around you.
Yes, there is, of course. That's always been true, but then it seems to be truer now.
Yes. So have you noticed any shifts in anyone that you work with?
Well, you know, yes. Because I just think that whatever it was that I was doing before is now magnified, and I've been striving for this for years, and now it just sort of gelled. But yeah, I would say that working with patients, this is the thing, where they're severely ill, or uh-huh. they're about to crash, and there's a lot of panic that nurses have not learned to find their peace around patients. And when something is about to go wrong, there's a lot of panic. And I've noticed, and I've always noticed this, but I noticed it over the weekend, that I'm not saying this egocentrically or trying to act like I'm somebody that's so great, because that's mm-hmm. not at all what I mean. But I can walk into the patient's room and they're... You know, they relax, and they a lot of people have anxiety disorders, and then of course those anxiety disorders are magnified in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
But there's just something about the work and helping people to somehow, you know, maybe keep a baby in a few more days extra just because they are relaxed and they you know, value my optimism, because I don't go in, I don't think the worst about a person's diagnosis, and I don't think the worst, you know, so many nurses just act like the worst thing in the world is going to happen to these people, and I'm just not like that, and I refuse to be.
Well, that's kind of an extension of the culture and the society, because if you look at the society and the culture that we're in, that's a tendency. And that's been the tendency. And the shift is to become more the way that you are being. So
yes.
I think that's wonderful that you're doing that, because you're actually making a difference. You're actually bringing this new energy, this shift, this loving energy, this all-embracing, this unconditional loving energy to your workspace. And others feel it, like you're saying, just walking in and showing up, you know, people calm down, and there's just this a feeling. You can, it's palpable. They actually can feel it, and you can see the results of it. And that's so true. And that doesn't just have to happen in a place where people are going through extreme things. That can happen in everyday life. That can happen with everything. So, I mean, you can be in the middle of a situation or a disaster or something, and you can just walk up, and, you know, if you're in this space, your presence will just calm people. They'll just feel the energy. I mean, that's one thing about energy. You can't see it, but you can feel it, and people feel it.
I know. It's just something that I wish people were, well, it doesn't have to happen with everybody. I think just a few of us doing this sort of work will transform the world. I really do.
I mean, there's such a thing as a tipping point, and it does spread. I mean, you know, not everybody has to jump in and be, you know, the forerunners or whatever, or the leaders. You need a few leaders. If everyone was going to do it, then, you know, everything would be, you know, instant. But it doesn't seem to happen that way because of the cultural conditioning. So as more and more, you know, embody this beautiful energy and just be this in the world with others, that's really all it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
it's
contagious. It's contagious, and so is fear. Fear and negative emotions are just as contagious. So it's like, what are you spreading? What do you want to spread? You know, do you want to spread love and joy and peace, or do you want to spread fear, anxiety, you know, pain, anger? You know, what do you want to spread? You're going to spread something. You're you're a radiating being. You can't not spread something. So it's like, what do you want to spread? What do you want to experience in the world? What do you want to embody? What do you want to be?
Yeah, and I think it's a choice, and once the choice is made, there's no turning back.
Right. It's always a choice. And it's a choice that you have to really make moment by moment, because, you know, you can be really well-grounded in your choice, and then something could happen, and you could just fall apart, and all that old programming could come back up. You have to realize you've had a whole lifetime of being trained the other way.
Yeah.
So, you know, you really have to make the choice every moment and live from this choice of being love every moment. And in doing your morning meditation sessions, or, you know, that's a way of daily making the choice. You know, you're committing yourself every day to this choice, committing yourself every day to this loving energy. And, you know, there's other ways. If people aren't, you know, meditating in a group, they can meditate at home. They can do something, or, you know, that to them has them making the choice, symbolizes making the choice for them, you know, every day. Because it is a choice.
It is a choice, and it isn't something that once you've made it, you it's done. I think you're right. It has to be something that happens every moment.
Right. Right.
Well, and another thing I noticed going into the workplace again was that I wasn't as frazzled or even as affected, I should say, by the negative energy. And I just thought this was hysterical. This woman was very negative, and, you know, I don't know if you have ever experienced this, but sometimes people get so crazy that they start throwing papers and sighing deeply. You know, there's that very negative thing that people do that affects everybody. and one of them is throwing papers and another one is sighing deeply. So this woman was doing this. She was throwing papers.
Well, wait a minute. Throwing papers I could see, because that's kind of messing everything up, and it's you know, you might have this organized record or something for somebody, and throwing papers, I could see how that could upset someone when you're trying to monitor a patient. But sighing deeply?
How much
power are you giving to the person that's doing the sighing?
So what happens? What happened was that she started throwing papers, and so I picked up a few papers and I threw them. And she looked at me as if I was crazy. So what was so funny was is that she had absolutely no insight into how crazy she is, and she thought I was being crazy. I thought that was so funny. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget it as long as I live. In fact, I think whenever people start throwing papers, which they do a lot, people get all pissed off and they start throwing papers and sighing deeply, then I'm just going to pick up a bunch of papers and throw them across the room and laugh.
That's not a bad idea, I suppose. I mean, but the thing is, I mean, will they see the silliness of their behavior, or are they so invested in it, Kate, that they really think that they're right, and they're throwing the papers is different from your throwing the papers.
Right.
And they
so
might
hysterical.
Think that you're mocking them, so they might totally miss the point.
Right.
Yeah, well, she
would
did.
Would never see themselves in that.
They didn't, did they? She
oh,
didn't.
No.
No, she did not.
No. Right.
No, it's your problem.
You know.
Goodness, what makes you throw papers that way? But not realize they do it themselves.
Yeah,
right,
that was a fascinating.
That's human nature. Yeah.
What would happen if you threw the papers and you said, I love you, and just walked away? And then, I mean, but meant it, not just said it like in a mocking way, but just said it.
Sure, I know, I know.
What would happen if you did that?
You know, this is the kind of thing that if I can do that successfully, then I'll be ready to graduate and leave the workplace. Oh, my gosh, it's so amazing.
Well, try it.
But,
I mean, you can't be upset with people when you realize how everybody is conditioned and trained, you know, from the moment they get here. You know, babies show up, and babies are like they're full of source energy. All they are is love energy. They're pure. They have no ideas. They have no concepts.
I know.
You know, everything
what a beautiful
they see
moment.
Is everything they see is energy. Yeah, and it's a wonderful gift that you get to work around babies. I mean, what a gift that is. I mean, you work around these little source beings all the time. They pop out. There they are, source, you know. I mean, what a wonderful opportunity to just be with them and experience the connection with them and through them. I mean, it's just beautiful. Absolutely.
Oh, well, there's
beautiful.
Nothing like it. Yeah, I know.
Right. But then what happens is, you know, their parents and those around them, the adults, start training them and conditioning them and teaching them all this stuff, which is the total opposite of, you know, being open, being love, being energy. They take that on. So how can you, you know, be unforgiving or unloving or ununderstanding of an adult that can't connect back to the source energy part of themselves so easily? They've just been very well trained. They just had a better teacher than you, maybe. Maybe, you know, their parents, their adult, you know, authority figures in their life were just very, very connected to the world of form, the world of labeling, the world of, you know, away from love,
uh-huh.
You know, the world of fear. So that's what they got taught. Whereas your upbringing wasn't so much away from love and so much, you know, the world of form. So you're able to connect easier. So, you know, this is what compassion is. You know, it's having and it's allowing everyone to be where they are without making them wrong. And providing
right.
the love, you know, the love towards them, radiating the love towards them so that you help create a space that they can step into, that they can grow into, they can expand into. because human beings are just in like an aspect of the universe, and the universe is always expanding. Well, human beings are always expanding too. So as you create the space of love, they can just expand into that. It gives them an opportunity. And if you do that and being around all those babies, I could just guarantee you that these people are going to begin to shift.
Yes.
Hey, Betty Rush is waiting to get on.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. But she said, okay. Yeah.
Who was waiting to get on?
My sister.
That's 706.
To come on and talk to you. Talk to us.
That's 706.
Oh.
She's calling in to the show. And
is that 706?
706 it is.
All right. Hello, Betty Rush.
Hey. Oh, it's wonderful to hear your voice. How are you, Kate?
It's been a little while since you've joined us on the show.
No, but I just had to be here tonight. Hi, Amy. Hey, Joan.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, honey.
I'm calling from Athens, Georgia, Amy.
Oh, excellent.
And I don't think we've met before, but Kate and I have a special bond because I also work at a hospital.
Oh.
And I'm in customer service, guest services, and have been there for 20 years. So we kind of, in a different way, experience the same things. But, Kate, I had to laugh at your throwing the papers because today... we had a person coming in for like a pre-admission testing situation, and I commented, we had her wait while we checked to be sure where to direct her, etc. And the anxiety was just, you know, you could almost see it surrounding her and her husband. And I commented on her pretty black and white outfit, and I happened to be in black and white, and we were talking about that. And all of a sudden, I said, wait a minute, you're going to laugh. And I raised my leg up in the air over the desk and showed her my black and white polka dot shoes. And I thought, and she just cracked up. Where did you get them, you know? But it was a bonding or a love uniting that she felt good about the situation. And I think that's what the bottom line is.
Yeah,
know?
Well, see, you know what you did, Betty? And I don't know if you were even consciously aware of it. You kind of just followed your guidance on it, which is so beautiful. You connected with her on something that she could relate to.
Exactly.
And you raised her energy to a higher level, a level of... you know, positive emotions, a level of peace, a level of embracing as opposed to resisting. And you did it because you, instead of, you know, you found a common something that you could connect with her on. And then you did it with joy, and you did it with humor, and you didn't, you know, you didn't do it all serious. You know, you did it with a lightness of spirit.
Right.
And that's very attractive. It
pulls
people in. I
could see the change like you can with, you know, throwing the papers. I mean, that's just... wonderful, because people, you're setting an example of it's okay to let go a little bit and to laugh and to...
Well, I don't know if Kate saw a change when she threw the papers in them.
Did you, Kate?
No. She's a very, you know, one of those people who was, you know, speaking of compassion, you know, she is a military nurse.
Mm.
And military nurses have a different kind of...
different
yeah.
way to look, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
I
just want to say that I threw the papers in a spirit of fun, though. So
right.
It wasn't like
I understand
yeah.
that, but
yeah.
she probably didn't get that.
No,
she didn't get
that.
It.
Oh.
It was too far from where she was when she threw the papers. You know, when
yeah.
you when you have something like that happening and you have someone like that, the best thing that you can do is to really just, like, radiate love and be loving towards them.
Right.
She probably thought you were mocking her by throwing the papers, so it might have
yeah.
actually backfired.
Well, yeah, it did. It did.
Yeah.
I loved it, though.
Well, to me, it was my own little private joke, because for years and years and years, I've really been... my buttons get pushed when people throw papers. But this time, I was able to just throw some papers myself, and it really felt good. And I don't
yeah.
really care exactly
oh,
what she thought.
I love it.
That's beautiful. That's a release for you. That's like a shift for you. But
yes, it is.
You know, look at it for yourself as opposed to what it did for someone else. But
well,
I would
and
say,
you never know what's down the road. You know, she may think, it may take time with that response, but it may have made a difference. And
right.
So I think the field we're in offers opportunities to really extend love in every way we can do that. And I had a volunteer today tell me, I love working here. You know, I love being here, being able to help people. And you could just feel in her voice, she said, I work a full-time job and they want me to work Friday nights. And she said, I call them and tell them, I can no longer work, period, at my full-time job when on Friday nights, because that's when I volunteer at the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Period. She put her foot down. And so when you find people like that, then you know you have a valuable person.
Yeah. Well, she's embodying love because the volunteer work is being love. And she, you know, is realizing the value of doing that, whether she realizes it consciously or just knows it in feeling. She wants to step into that and be that more and be that around people. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It really is.
This is all part of this shift that's going on. And people are more and more being this and stepping into this and reaching out to one another. And, I mean, more and more strangers are being loving towards one another in some way, shape, or form.
And if you watch for it, you can see it. But you you have to watch for the people that let somebody in traffic or let someone ahead of you in a grocery line or whatever and acknowledge that to them, that they, you know, were kind and loving. And I think that spreads it because we are fertilizing it.
Yes, it spreads it. But also what happens is the more evidence you see of it, the more your mind accepts it as what is and fact. And the more your mind accepts it as fact, the more you're going to expect it. And you always receive what you expect. So you might have two people let you in traffic 1 week, and you might find 2 weeks later, everybody's letting you in traffic.
Right. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It is totally amazing. It's wonderful to talk with you. I just had to put in my 2 cents worth tonight, and I'll stick with you for the rest of the program.
Oh, thank you, Betty.
Love you, Betty.
And love to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It kind of reminds me of the simplicity of a smile. How this one, they say that people smile, when you see a smile, it's because somebody else smiled at them. And, you know, it's really, I must say, you know, it's a cliche, and people have heard it so many times that it might not sink in. But a genuine, heartfelt smile is one of the most important things you can do for another human being.
Absolutely. Or saying hello, acknowledging them, because saying hello to somebody. Suppose you're walking down New York and everybody's so inwardly focused, their mind is going rah, 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 a billion, you know, thoughts a second. And, you know, they're not even seeing one another. They're pushing past one another and they're bumping into one another and they're just not even fully seeing one another. It's just like an object to push past. And if someone starts smiling or saying hello, it's like the world shifts. Whoa, they saw me. You know, that it's
know.
An acknowledgement. You're there. Hello, fellow human being. And it's like, whoa, what was that? and it changes them completely. It pulls them out of their mental noise. And just, you know, just for a moment, but it's long enough. And they might then in turn smile or say hello to somebody else.
Yes.
It spreads that way.
Well, we did a commercial today. Our hospital is celebrating 10 years of existence. And we got about 10 to 12, 13 children who had all been birthed there because, you know, over the course of 10 years. So they were like from little baby up to about 9 years old. and they were all in the film. And now we were having so much fun doing this film. There was a lot of laughter. There was so much love. And people were attracted to us. Or then there was these people who would storm out of their offices and say, "This is too loud." And it was so funny to see who was, I think more people were attracted to the energy, of course.
Uh-huh.
And the people who were repelled, they just didn't get it. But
well,
where they were at
in that moment, Kate, was just too far from the energy that you guys were being with the film for them to connect to it. Doesn't mean that it might not have done something or shifted them inside. It's just that at that moment, they were just too far to embrace it.
Yeah, and I'll never forget the time. The very first time we did our customer service presentation, I was out there acting like some sort of idiot. And this woman comes storming in to the room. She comes flying over to me. She takes my name tag, and she yanks it out, looks at my name, and it comes snapping back into my chest, and she storms out again. And the thing, and the thing about it was everybody in the room thought it was as part of the skit to demonstrate how not to treat people. But in reality, this was her. This was the way she was acting. I'll never forget it. And every time I see her, I burst into laughter because she knows what she – and I just think it's hysterical. So I think in a way what we're doing as this customer service team, I mean, we have done three of these – we're about to do the third presentation of totally zany creativity kind of stuff. It's changing. It's changing people. You would hope that it would come from the top down, you know, trickle down, but it's actually trickling up.
Well, that's okay.
And
However it trickles, you know, it's fine. You know, there's no rule about how it must trickle, and there's no good or bad, and there's no better than, you know. It'll spread. So.
It's trickling.
Okay, as long as
trickling,
it's trickling.
As long as it's trickling.
I mean, the good part is that you're doing it. The good part is you're creating that energy and you're putting it out there. And as long as you're doing it, there's the opportunity for others to step into it. Now, you can't force people to step into it, and you can't judge them because they don't. Everybody's going to do what they're going to do. And they're going to do things when they choose to, and they're going to do things when they're ready to. You have no idea how deep the attachments are that exist in some people. So you can't judge them because they're just not at the same level that you are or embracing the positive energy that you are. They're where they are, and that's perfect for them.
Right.
That's like the most important thing about this new energy and this love and the shift is an embracing of all, an embracing of everyone regardless of where they are, not making people wrong, not feeling that one thing is better than another, because that's the old way. That's the way we've always been, and that's what's ending, and that's what's going away. It's really now becoming a space where no matter where people are, it's okay. There's space enough to be wherever you're going to be.
I think another thing that will change but hasn't quite, we haven't reached the tipping point, as you said earlier, was that people tend to think that people in their family or their friends are the only people they can love.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole expansiveness of loving everything and everybody is something that is about to happen, I think, or is shifting.
The universal family, I think it's shifting. I think it's showing up already. But again,
yeah,
those that are on the leading edge of this are those that are experiencing more love within them, those that are connecting with the deeper love, those that are literally being the love and radiate it outward. Because those that aren't doing that view love as a scarcity. They view love as something they can only give out to certain people, because then, you know, they don't have love enough to love every single person in the world. Why should they do that? They're not going to love them back, and their love is going to run out. So, you know, it's where people are. Everybody's at a different point. Like, if you imagine it like a ruler, and the ruler's like moving, you know, like a moving sidewalk or something, everybody's at a different point, and everybody's where they are. But if the sidewalk's moving, everybody's going to be moving to the points further on down the line. It's just a matter of when they get there.
Yes, that's right. And it's the communities on the internet are very life enhancing.
Well, the communities on the internet are really special. They're kind of divine.
Yeah.
When I say they're divine, I don't mean like they're like they people think of divine as feeling good. I don't mean that. They do feel good, but they are literally divinely created. They came out of source. I mean, everything is source. They came out of source energy at a time when the world needs, you know, desires to, when the energy is all loving, all connecting. The love that can happen between individuals all over the globe through the internet is absolutely beautiful. I remember in 92 or 93 when the internet was really coming into being and I heard about it and I was like so excited. You know, I hadn't even played on it yet or even seen it. I remember I was so excited. I was like, you know, like crying excited with joy. And I kept thinking, this is so wonderful. It's like this big equalizer. It's going to equalize everything for everybody. It's going to connect everybody, and no one will be able to be rejected or discriminated against because everybody will be able to participate equally. And I mean,
is so true. Yeah,
it is true. It is true. I mean, people in South Africa and mainland Africa and India can participate on the internet the same as people in the United States and the same as in, you know, England and Malaysia and China and Japan. I mean, everybody is one on the internet.
Yeah.
And everybody is equal. You don't sit there and look at somebody's, name and say, oh, they're less than me. you don't. You just don't. Everybody's equal, and everybody's the same, and everybody has the same opportunity to be the love that they are, and to be loved, and to share love. And it's just a very powerful, powerful space.
It really is.
Yeah,
it really is.
If people embrace it in the way that it really was intended to be embraced, which is a connector of all, a beautiful, loving space for all to show up in, magic happens.
Yes.
It's right. Beautiful.
Well, I feel the internet unconditional loving energy that we find in our communities, I just feel like if I didn't know that that existed and I just kept I live in a very conservative town. So there's a lot of backward, in my opinion, backward thinking patterns. So I would be very discouraged if I didn't have this outlet here on the internet. And I would think that that's what all life is about, is all these people just clinging to the old ways of thinking. I wouldn't know.
Right.
There is this shift and this wonderful thing that's happening. I wouldn't even know it. And that's just an amazing thought.
Right. Well, that's very true for so many people. It's like the internet is their connection, it is their outlet, and it is what connects them to this larger possibility and this larger love, because their immediate community is just not that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, it's an opportunity for people to really connect, and what's even more beautiful about it is its energy. So it's even like truer to the true state of things, which is pure energy, than our physical bodies. So here we are, an energy signature interacting with other energy signatures, and it's absolutely phenomenal. And we're transmitting our energy, our thoughts, our energy via energy frequencies. I mean, it's really. There's so many layers of it, but it's just a very, very powerful thing. And the whole thing with the social networks, I mean, it's just so not an accident that they are here right now. It's all, again, by this, grand divine plan, divine design, that they are manifesting and they have come into being when they have. It's all about connecting.
Yeah.
You know, and as we move forward, you know, through all these different shifting energies, and the Earth goes through all the, you know, turbulent changes that she's going through, we're going to really cherish that connection to one another. You know, it changes
yes.
lives.
Yeah, it's something to really value. And to...
Yeah, we...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I just always think about the people that in the past have been considered shut-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's
yes.
no such thing anymore.
Right.
That's right.
Shut-in.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. Shut-in is gone.
Right. Yeah. Because everybody can be connected to, you know, everybody else. Everybody can share their love, and everybody can experience the love. And right now, you know, it is literally a matter of choice. It's not that everybody or anybody has to be in a particular situation anymore. I mean, sure, there are some places on the globe where things, you know, haven't gotten to the point where there's internet everywhere, and they're, you know, they're very difficult situations going on there. But they're evolving, they're moving forward, and the rest of the world that is connected knows very much about what's going on there and is constantly sending love, constantly sending what they can send there for these people, to these people, constantly sending them support and energy and uplifting them, whether they are able to see it or not, they're definitely feeling it. So their change will come about. It's just a matter of as they, you know, they have to be ready to step into it for them. A lot of the countries, like third world countries, it's too big of a step for them to take in one step. They have to take several steps. So it's not an overnight thing. It takes a little longer for them. But that's okay. They'll get there.
Yeah, it's probably going to reach a culmination by the year 2012, don't you think?
I don't know if 2012 is going to be the culmination for every part of the world. But probably by 2015, I would say. Yeah, I would say that. You know, people can't be made to do something before they're ready. And, you know, even Abraham speaks about this. You can send, you know, money to places, you can bring things to places, you can buy things for people, but if they aren't vibrationally ready, if they aren't energetically ready to receive it, they're going to lose it. They're not going to be able to keep it, or it's going to break.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to grow into the frequency of having that, of allowing that into their lives. I mean, there's many places in the world. I was reading about this, and I was totally amazed, where water has been brought, where they had no water, wells were drilled. But what happened was they were not energetically at the level where they could receive running water and a well yet. You know, they
yeah.
could receive it initially, but what happened is the wells fell into disrepair. They argued over who was going to go get the parts. No one trusted one another with any money to go buy any parts. No one trusted the other to do any work on the well. So meanwhile, the well fell into disrepair, and they're right back where they started from after all that time and money and effort to drill a well for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now of these... You know, these organizations are revisiting these places, you know, repairing the wells and educating the people. They're appointing people to be in charge of the wells. They're appointing people to be in charge of maintaining and repairing them. And they're educating them as to how to do that. So, in other words, as they're doing this, they're raising their frequency. They're raising and expanding their knowing and their knowledge and their ability to receive a well and running water.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, you can't, because you have something or you desire something or you desire someone else to have something, doesn't mean that they're going to be ready to receive it. So the most important thing for everybody to do is to really be loving towards one another, all accepting. If you imagine you're this big being, you know, beyond your physical body, imagine your physical body is like 100 times bigger than it is, but it's shaped like your physical body. And it's this wonderful, think of yourself like this just giant, like a Michelin tire boy or Pillsbury doughboy, you know, but you're just this big white energy, light, loving, giant being.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you open your arms and you just open them and you just hug and bring in as many people as you can. Just imagine that you're constantly embracing people, constantly hugging people, constantly sending them love. You're going to change so many people and show so many people's lives and make a difference so much just by doing that little thing.
Wow, I agree.
And it will change
That's
you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it
yeah.
will change and transform you, too, in the doing of it.
Well, that's a totally practical suggestion. I mean, it's, totally where it's at.
Yeah, and it's totally, like you said, it's totally practical. It's totally doable. Everyone can visualize this. You know, close your eyes, visualize yourself as this big white giant being, you know, and if you... You don't have to have a particular form, but, you have to basically have your same body form with arms. And then you just open your arms. And if you want to make yourself so big, you can make it so big where you're bigger than the Earth and you can actually hug the whole planet.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, people might not think that's practical, but that's the most practical thing we can do in this world, I think.
It really is. It's so simple. There's not one person who can't do that. People can't say, well, I don't have any money to help out so-and-so. I don't have any time to help out so-and-so. It doesn't take money and it doesn't take time. It takes a moment. It takes a thought. It takes a shift in the way that you're being at the moment, and it takes a willingness to do so. Everybody's got plenty of that.
Yeah. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say it would make a bigger impact. Yeah, I would say it would make a bigger impact in the world if everybody were to do that for at least a minute or two daily than if everybody just started donating money to things.
Right. Or just kept throwing papers.
Right. Well, essentially you realize that the throwing papers is a metaphor.
And it didn't
in life.
Work, you know. Yeah.
I understand that, but in life, if you look at people, when they're frustrated with things or when they want to do things or they want to make things change, they do the equivalent of throwing papers at it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't connect with it. They don't energetically embrace it. They resist it. They try to push it away. They try to affect change, and they do the metaphorical energetic equivalent of throwing papers at it. It doesn't do anything.
Yes.
It actually can make the situation worse energetically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of neat that you had that experience of the throwing papers. And it's kind of neat the way you experienced it. And if you look, you'll be able to see that it is, you know, metaphorically, it is what happens everywhere in this world. And that's changing, too. More people are shifting towards the energetic hugging as opposed to the throwing papers at energy.
Yeah. it's definitely something that people are learning.
Yeah. And I invite you in the future, okay, you know, or from now on, I mean, in the future sounds so... you know, off there in the distance. But, I mean, it could be tomorrow. It could be the next moment, you know. When someone does this again or this woman does this again, instead of you throwing the papers, I know you thought that was fun, but how did she receive that? She probably didn't receive it as fun. Exactly. So were you making a difference? Probably not in the way that you intended.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I invite you to become the big white fluffy being and to energetically send her a hug. Open your big energetic arms and visualize yourself for in that moment hugging her. In all of her anger and all of her spewing and all of her paper throwing, you're just hugging her and you're just loving her unconditionally and you're just accepting her as she is. No judgment, no words. You don't even have to have a thought. It's a feeling of opening your arms and just hugging her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I bet that that's going to start transforming her big time. You start doing that and you're going to start noticing that she starts showing up differently.
Yes, instead of noticing that she's on the schedule tonight and going, oh, no, she's going, oh, wow, she's on the schedule, so I can practice loving her.
Yes, it's an opportunity for you, exactly.
Yes.
Instead of dreading it, you know, based upon prior experiences, now you have an opportunity to practice this loving, to practice this sharing, to practice this, you know, reaching out and bringing everybody into your loving heart.
So, yeah.
I mean, that it's always easy for us to love and to throw our energetic arms and even real arms around those that we love and those that we like and those that aren't, you know, sending us resistance or putting out energy that we don't, you know, feel comfortable with. The challenge and the opportunity for us to grow is to do that with those that are putting out energy we don't feel comfortable with, that are resisting, that aren't necessarily ones that we, quote, like.
Yes.
So that's you'll grow from doing it.
That's right.
If you have an opportunity to do this tonight, I mean, you can. You don't have to wait for her to throw papers to do it. You can just do it. I am sure your experience with her for the rest of the shift will be totally different than anything you've experienced. And then you can blog about it and share it with the
Yes, I always have to have material for that prayer blog, that's for sure.
Exactly. And that, I'm sure, will be a really powerful share.
Yes. Well, we've come to the end of the hour.
All right. Well, let me give out my websites again for anybody that doesn't know them. I mean, I don't know if they're in the chat room or not.
I will put them here. I'll put them on. Yep.
All right. Well, you know, I'll say them, too, in case anyone's on the phone. There's two of them. There's allabout-energy.com. And the other one is money, M-O-N-E-Y, Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, healing, healing.com. And I also want to invite everybody who's not signed up or doesn't know about this to a very powerful self-forgiveness call. Actually, it came through Source as forgiveness of self, not self-forgiveness, forgiveness of self, which has actually got a more powerful vibration to me than the word self-forgiveness, because we just take that word. We're familiar with that. So that is September 1st, a week from tomorrow, at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And it's free. I would love everybody to be on that because I think it is going to be super, super powerful for you. That's all I have to say.
Well, let me ask if that forgiveness process is on your main page or not.
No, not yet. There is no forgiveness process, self-forgiveness or forgiveness of self-process created yet. I do sense that I'm going to receive something. I don't know if it's going to be that process before the call or it's going to be something else, but I've been just feeling very strongly that something's going to come through for me to make available to the people on that call. The self-forgiveness process may not show up until the call. I'm not really sure. It's just however it unfolds. I'm kind of going along for the ride on this one.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. We love you.
Thank you, Amy.
I love you guys, too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was fun. And I will do a little blogging about it tomorrow.
Okay. We didn't have any questions today besides Betty wanting to share?
This chat room is very full, and there's just like lots of great comments about giving and receiving love and also some comments about meditation. How meditation doesn't really have to just be sitting down, how life can be a meditation. But
absolutely.
I really have found that the sitting meditation is more focused and concentrated, and I recommend it even for 10 minutes, you know.
Sitting meditation and setting aside particular time is more focused and powerful. And once you become really trained with that, you can have powerful meditation in every moment in everything you do.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. Very, very true.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what's really the key and where we want to get to is being able to live all of our moments in a meditative state. Meditative state really means just being here fully present now and not having our mind wandering off to the future and not having our mind wandering off to the past and not having our mind thinking about what we have to do, which is in the future, or what we did do or didn't do, which is in the past. But if you think about what is the object of meditation, it's to be here now, fully present, in your body, connected, you know, to the energy that you are. If we can live our lives like that, magic will happen. The whole world will transform instantly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We loved having you. And I'm just going to play the music for Mother and Child.
All right.
B.D. Jensen. And this his music can be bought on www.praytoheal.com. Love you all. Love you.
Good night. Love you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.